hope. Okay, let's just go through. What I want to do this morning is I want to go through the what, where, and how of sharing your faith. Okay, so that'll give you a framework for where we are, the what, where, and how of sharing your faith. And the first bit, the what, is really to remind you of what we talked about last time. It's really the things we went through back in November. Now, of course, you can remember everything I talked about in November, can't you? Yeah, thank you. That's really good. I'm glad there's a yes from somewhere. I'll go away really depressed otherwise. Well, let's start by recapping what we said then. What we talked about then was five quick things to help you in sharing the gospel. And so, first of all, we said that we should pray. We should pray. Well, why do we pray? Well, of course, because God tells us in Luke in chapter 10 that the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest field. So actually, prayer is absolutely integral to all we're doing. We do not see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who brings them to himself by his Spirit. It's not us at all. He just happens to use us to gossip the gospel, to live it out for him. So pray about it. Pray more than anything else. Pray for people to go and pray that God would enable you. It's interesting, if you looked at that passage in Luke, that you just discover that Jesus tells the disciples to pray, and they're thinking, yeah, that's great. Just like we have on a sermon, you know, you think, that's really good for them. Actually, Jesus immediately turned around and went, well, by the way, you lot are going out. And then he gave them instructions about them going out. So pray that God would enable you to go out as well. So we pray. The second thing that we do is we befriend. But sorry, before that, I should have remembered in here. In praying, then also what we do is we have used and we gave out the prayer cards for you to write some names on the back of those cards that you were given out before. If you did not get one, they're there in the foyer. They're just as you look at the welcome desk, to the left of the welcome desk, there's a box of them. Do take one of these and write, I suggested last time, three names to write down on them. Do you have those three names in your head you've got written down on them? We'll talk a bit more about that in just a moment. Second thing is befriend. Befriend. Well, the 12 were sent out by Jesus. They weren't expecting that. They were praying for other people. Jesus sent them. And he sent them out, and he told them to go, and he told to each place that you go to enter the town, and if the town wants, if they want to have them there, then find someone to stay with, and then to speak at the town. But if not, to move on to the next town. And so one of the things that we have, one of the great things that God gives us, is the opportunities to be with many other people, to befriend people. And God is sending you, as it were, to lots of different people. Now, some of them will want to know more about what it is to be a Christian. Some of them, people will be absolutely antagonistic to it. That's the way of things for the moment. And so what does Jesus tell them? He says, if you find a house of someone who's willing to have you, then go and dwell with them, spend time with them. And so not that you don't spend time with all your friends, but there'll be particular people who will be more receptive, there'll be others who are less receptive. Well, that's fine. And I want to encourage you, because sometimes we can think, because people can be negative, that we can't possibly share the gospel. Actual fact, research that's been done shows that 80% of people, if you just to talk to them about the interest that you have and the person that you're interested in, just like if you talk to people about rugby. So I talked to people about rugby. Leinster won the cup yesterday. You're totally irrelevant to anybody else, but very relevant to me. Now I know that some of you will instantly go to sleep and make it very well known. Others of you will be really enthusiastic about it. It doesn't put me off talking about rugby. And so Jesus is simply telling us, don't be put off, because God is preparing certain people for you, the man of peace we talked about last time. So befriend people. And so then, when you befriend people, what are we going to do? Well, you have a story to tell. Do you remember you spent some time writing down your story, how you came to know Jesus? Your story has a past. what things were before you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I became a Christian when I was 10 years old. So, of course, I was into drinks and drugs and fast cars. Came to know, well, no, I wasn't, you see. But you've got, that's not my story. I've got a different story. And you've got a story. God has given you the story for you to use. And so what is your story? You've got a past. You've got the time when you came to know Jesus. What happened then? What did you come to understand about the Lord Jesus, his death for you, and your own sin and your need of him? And then you've got the future. What happened then? Well, you asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, but it wasn't just the end, was it? It was the start of a relationship. And so you go on and you're walking with Jesus, and he makes all the difference. So tell your story, past, present, future. What is your story? And then, of course, there'll be times when maybe somebody is going, I want to know a bit more. And what can you do? Well, what we did last time is we gave out a little pack of leaflets. So everybody should have one of these. Do you still know where it is? Here's the question, okay? A few challenges for you. Okay, I know where mine is. And actually, the great thing was I had to put two more of the three leaflets back in them because I'd used two. Isn't that great? So I was actually dead chuffed with myself. I shouldn't be. But there we are. We'd used two of them. But one of the things, one of the leaflets in there, they all talk about how you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But one of them that's particularly useful was this little one here, which I will get put up the symbols here. It's got four symbols on them, it's called the four points, and the four symbols are simply this, that God loves you. Did you know that God loves you? If you're here this morning, and you haven't yet come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have that relationship with God, can I ask you, do you know that God loves you? Maybe there's been terrible things that's happened in your life, and maybe you're really angry with God. But that does not mean that God does not love you. He loves you. He is desperate for you to come into relationship with him. He wants you to come to know him and to know that love which can be yours. The problem is, and that's where the cross comes in, that we have all sinned against God. We have all gone away from him. We've turned our own way. And we know that, don't we, in our own lives. We've rebelled against God. And the Bible tells us that all of the things that are in our life are so awful that they're like filthy rags before God. They're like the kind of thing you don't even want to touch. You just want to throw away. As I was walking down here this morning, sorry, horrible story, over there, they're gutting a nightclub, and there was a toilet sitting there, and the toilet was filled with this purple fungusy stuff. You know, it's the kind of thing you just, I don't want to touch that, I don't even want to go near that. That's the kind of idea from that verse. That's what we are like, and it doesn't matter how good we can be, it doesn't matter how clean the outside of this old toilet bowl was, you're not going to go near it. And and that's how we are before God. We've done those wrong things, and he can't come near us because he's holy, yet he wants to have that relationship with us. What did he do about it? He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, would not face the judgment for those wrong things that were done, but will have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for you and me. He took all my wrong upon him. He was punished in my place there so that I and you can have life. And so that brings us to the last one. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Now, folks, it is as easy to share the gospel as that. This can be a real help. If you've struggled in the past, grab some of those. Again, all those leaflets available in the foyer, same place. Do top up your pack or do take some more. Make use of those as you speak to others. I'm going to ask Karen to come up here. Karen has been warned for once. I normally just pick on people, but I did give Karen some warning because I want you to hear a little bit of a story to do with Karen. Whoops, sorry. Right, Karen, you need to come up close to that microphone, okay, so that we've got you. Now, I know that you moved into Cheltenham roughly the same time as we moved here, didn't you, about a year ago, okay. So you have neighbours and other people near you got to know?
We have, not a lot. They like to keep to themselves, not because I want to, but that's the way people are. Yeah. So in our block, we don't know people well.
Yeah.
I do outside
You've
of our block.
You've got to know lots of people well, that's right. Now, I know there's a few people, because you've been involved with the internationals work as well.
And it's amazing.
Hello to the internationals up there as well and around here, which has been great. Okay, so just tell us, you've made friends with people, both inside and outside the church. Tell us a bit about what's happened with kind of some of those friends that you've made.
Yeah. Well, I love people and I love talking, so you probably have noticed when I've chatted to anyone. And I go to school because I have grandchildren at school, so I get lots of opportunity to chat and get to know people. And as Owen says, through the international group, but I'm just going to tell.
Yeah, okay.
The thing is that I do love people and I like talking, but mainly because I'm very useless at texting and all that sort of stuff, so I'm not very good at that, but I can talk, so I use that more. So at school I get lots of opportunities and you know, there's been a couple of people that I've got quite close to at school, and I was really blessed with someone who we just started off chatting, and they actually said to me, you know, what do you do? And I explained to them, Friday night I have international, and it's amazing, and I love it, and shared all the people we've met. And then on a Sunday we go to Cambrai, and, you know, after a little bit of sharing and talking to someone, they said to me, do you think I could come with you? And I was going, yeah, sure, you can definitely come with me.
That'll work,
I like people and I love people. And one thing I was just going to say, when Ben said this morning, you know, we don't do it on our own strength. And I am dyslexic and I can't read brilliantly. And often Karen will give me stuff to do with the kids and I stress. But the thing is, the Lord enables me, and I think that's the great thing, is that as far as sharing, I have a story to tell, and it's my story, so no one can correct it, and no one can say, you've spelt that wrong, or you've done that wrong, and I'll go, hold on, this is my story, and it's mine, you know? So I have a story to tell, and I have a relationship with that person that I share the story, that's given me my story, so I'm all about relationships, so I think when we meet people, we have a story to tell, a special story, but I guess the thing is, that story goes on. It's a daily thing for me, a relationship with God and a relationship with people, so I guess I never stop talking. Yeah. So the story doesn't end there. It's an ongoing daily thing. So.
I know that you're talkative. I mean, you don't compete with me at all. But for say there's someone here this morning who just thought, well, I'm quite shy, actually. You know, I can't do that. They've still got a story to tell, haven't they?
And I think that's the great thing, is we're in a church, and I feel so blessed to be in this church where there's so many amazing, intelligent people that are so eloquent. But do you know what? Your story is your story, and it is real. And I think you don't have to be intelligent. It's simple, and the gospel story is simple. So, but I think the big thing is of caring about people and loving them really, and spending time with them, and then the opportunity comes that you can tell your story. But we have something that's so exciting. Mm. And if we're not excited about it, people are not going to want to hear our story. Mm. You know, I mean, Lucy always says to me, Karen, you get excited about everything. And I said, I know, I do get excited about everything.
That's brilliant. I'm going to let you go. Sorry. You're very good. You're very good to do this and to stand up in front of loads of people. Look, actually, if Christ is real to us, this is not going to be difficult, is it? If we're living with him every day, we meet people, we talk with them. You know, what's going to be the almost certain to be a question tomorrow is, what did you do over the weekend? Well, what did you do over the weekend? I went to see Michael McIntyre last night. He was very good. But that's not what I would talk about. First of all, I met with a load of my friends in church on Sunday. And if there's a blank to that, that's fine. I'll talk about Michael McIntyre then. But if there's not a blank to that, maybe someone will say, well, why did you go to church? What's there for you? You go, well, do you want to come along as well? Sometime they'll probably go, no, and then later on they will. You know, it's using those opportunities, those friendships. And so here we are. Pray, befriend, tell your story. You've got a story to tell. Tell the story, and when God gives the opportunity, and then above all, pray. Pray. Now, I did hold up my prayer card earlier on. I've got another prayer card in here, which is in the back of my Bible, which was from the previous church that we did, and I've got some names on it. And I decided that when we were filling these in, because I'd not been here long, I would continue to pray for the names which are on this one. Of the three names which are on there, I can't even speak to them now. I'm nowhere near them. But I did manage to have a conversation over Messenger with one of them because his wife just said, oh, you should talk to Alwyn. And so there it was, and I had a conversation, and it became a gospel conversation. And the other one who was on that is again, a husband of someone who was in the previous church. And it turns out that there has been a number of people from that previous church during this last time since I did that talk who have had opportunities to speak with that person about the gospel. And he's come along to the church. He's not coming every week, but he's coming along more regularly, and he's hearing the gospel all the time. You see, prayer is vital. Okay, so there we are. There's the very first part, the what. How do we do it? What do we do? Pray, befriend, tell your story, tell the story, and pray. And of course, we're not befriending just to tell the story, but actually, if you are a friend of someone, the very best thing you can do is to share Jesus with them. And so we look for those opportunities because we are friends of them. Now, here's the next question, I think, if this is going to go on. Yeah, that's just gone very dead. We've got a video, but that's because the video isn't, you've got no sound, this is with it. Let's go on to the next part of this. Okay, the next part is where. Maybe you're struggling knowing where to start. Okay, so where do I start? Well, of course, you've got friends, so hopefully you'll know where to start. But I want you to think about something just for a moment, and we're going to just spend a few moments discussing this together. Where is your front line? Okay, where's your front line? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you see, in churches we can be rather like the left-hand graphic here. That is that we gather together, and we kind of do things in a corner, and there's the rest of the world out there, and we're in our own little group, and there's everybody else out there, and our world kind of revolves around the church. But actually, although God, praise God, he brings people in, and people are invited in every single Sunday who don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, can I encourage you to keep on inviting people in to hear more and to get to know us as a community so that we can befriend them as a community? So keep on doing that. But the reality is the real opportunities are out there. But what does God do every single week? In fact, in about a quarter of an hour, you are going to go back out there. You're going to be scattered. You're going to be with family. I don't know who you're having lunch with. Hopefully you're going to have lunch with other people, maybe you don't know the Lord. And in the week, when it comes to Monday, you're going to be scattered even further. You're going to go into your workplaces. You're going to go to school gates. You might have arranged to fettle a car with somebody or go and play badminton with somebody or whatever it might be. There's so many places God has placed you, and so you're scattered all the way through. And so each of those is, if you like, your front line. So what happens in a battle is you gather together in the barracks, and then you're sent out and you go to your front line. That's the place where, in a sense, that you're actually putting into practice everything you've learned. And that's the idea of the front line. You're going out to that front line to put into practice. And what does God want you to do as you go out? Well, there's lots of different things that you do there. I think there's a footballer, there's some people walking in a park, there's someone playing sports, so there's a mother with toddlers and so on. There's lots of different things you do. You have got lots of different interests. You meet people in different contexts. So I want you to pause for a minute and to think, what is your front line? Now, there might be many of them, but where are the opportunities to get to know people? Where are you chatting to people who aren't Christians? Where is your opportunity to meet with others? If you're here as a visitor today, or if you're here and you know that you're not yet in relationship with God, these things are a bit alien to you, just talk to the person next to you. They'll be friendly to you. Hopefully you'll be friendly to them, I hope, as well. So we're going to take 2 minutes. Where's your front line? Maybe 3 minutes, okay? Talk to the people around you. Find someone who's friendly, who smiles at you and doesn't growl, and talk to them. And where's your front line? Have you got somewhere?
at least one place. There might be many places. Okay? Now, the reason for that is so you know, so you can pray into that situation. When God took me to work at Bath University, it was lovely because I actually got, for the first time, to walk into work. Rather than driving and thinking evil thoughts about the other drivers around me. So as I walked in, I was just praying each day, give me opportunity, help me. But there was more than that. You see, at the university, we had our own offices, and you know, students came in to see us, but you're banned from speaking about faith issues to students unless they raise it. I did do lots of things to try and get them to raise it, like put verses on my wall and a Bible happened to sit on my desk and other things like that, you know. But there were limited opportunities. But what I did discover is that within Bath University, where the previous university it wasn't the case, what they encouraged is all staff to get together at coffee times in the morning and the afternoon so that you could just get to know one another. And the idea was that you could actually start to talk about your research and share your research. Well, guess what happened there? Well, because people knew I was a Christian, because I was predominantly working with biologists and physicists, they would start to grill me virtually every time. So almost every day was an opportunity to share my faith on the front line. And I only found that out because I thought, well, I didn't normally kind of have coffee breaks during the day, but I thought, I realized as I was praying that God had given me opportunity. I needed to find the opportunity, and so I went to those coffee breaks. Another thing I did is at the end of the day, I discovered some of the staff from the department used to go off to one of the local university bars, and so though it was totally out of my comfort zone, that was a place I made sure I went to about once a week just to be with some of the folk. So where's your front line? Have a think about it, pray about it, and see what God wants you to do. Now, what we're going to do is to get into God's Word a bit more, and we're going to turn to Acts chapter 3 and verses 1 to 10. Acts chapter 3 and verses 1 to 10. We're going to be in and around that, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, for the next 15 minutes, and Pete's going to come and read to us from Acts chapter 3 and verse 1 to 10.
One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Brilliant. Now you might just say, well, these are all very well for somebody who is really gifted at these things. I'm not like that. I'm going to really struggle with it. Well, actually, what I want you to see in this passage that was these people who we've read about, Peter and John, first of all, they were just about having an ordinary day. They've been led by God. This is what we're talking about. And there was an ordinary day. They were going out on an ordinary day. The passage starts, verse 1, it was the time of prayer. Now, you might think, well, that was particularly impressive. Well, no, it wasn't. If you're in Jerusalem, you were near the temple, the time of prayer, you would probably, just as part of your normal routine, go to the temple. It would be similar to kind of, well, on my way home, I happen to go past Lidl's, and so if it's my turn to cook, then I will happen to go into Lidl's. And so it was the time for Lidl's. Okay, that's the idea of it. The actual passage in the Greek starts now, and it's the word that's put there, it's just a kind of a normal, you know, now normally,
It was the time of prayer. That's the sense of the passage there. It's incredibly ordinary. This was an ordinary, ordinary day. And so it's in the ordinary that God works. And so it's simple things, isn't it? If something happens to you, which has been a real blessing, and someone says to you that was dead lucky, then I would tend to reply, yeah, God's really good, isn't he? You know, that's a throwaway comment, so maybe to us, but it's true. And it's just it's an ordinary thing. It's part of the ordinary day. And so we use those opportunities. And so as I was saying, what did you do yesterday? Oh, I went to church. That's part of what you do, what you talk about. But maybe those things don't happen to you. Well, what the three reasons why they had these extraordinary things happen to Peter and John here. The first was they had a heart. God was at the heart of everything they were going to pray. God was at the heart of their day. This was, I say, just an ordinary day, just another day, and yet they didn't live segregated lives. Living for the Lord was part of their lives. They were going to pray. God was going to be in the center part of their day rather than just ignoring him. And so this is wonderful. You know, when we go with the right heart, when God is part of everything, God makes things happen. The interesting thing about this passage is it just so happens that as they were coming into the temple, the man was being carried in. Now, that man was probably sat there very regularly begging at the doors of the temple. And they probably would have hardly noticed him among the other ranks of other beggars there. But it just so happened at that particular day, as they were coming at that particular time, this man was being carried in and they noticed him. This is what you might call a God incidence. In other words, God sets things up. How often have you had that happen, that God sets things up for you? And you see, they had a heart. They were wanting to live their lives, not segregated. It's not about coming along on Sunday and saying, this is my day for God, and then the rest of the week is my days for me. But actually, my every moment is for God. My every circumstance and situation is for God. So they had a heart to be used for God. And God used them because they had a heart to be used. Secondly, they had eyes, eyes which saw with the eyes of Jesus. Now, God is always at work, but sometimes we just don't see it, do we? Sometimes there's opportunities come and they've passed by before we can do anything about it. But verse 4, it says this, that Peter looked straight at him. Now, that's a really bad translation, actually, but we don't really have the sense of it in our language, so it's better maybe put like that. But the Greek you could put as, Peter looked intently into him. Okay, I don't know if that makes sense. He looked intently into him. In other words, God had got Peter's attention by having this man carried in. Peter looked at him, and he saw more than just a man being carried. He saw a deeper spiritual need. I don't know how you how you see the people that you meet day by day. As we see them, we don't really see their desperate needs. I was so struck. I counted up how many people were there last night, about 20,000 people. And as I looked down, and we were right at the back of the stadium, looking down, 20,000 people, and to realize that there was, of these many, many blocks of people, there's probably only one block of people there statistically in this nation, of those blocks, 200 people. Probably who know the Lord. And actually, I must admit, I stopped before anything happened, and I just prayed for them, because here's a mass of people who actually desperately, desperately need Jesus. And you'll meet people, and there'll be all sorts of difficulties and problems that they're facing in their lives, and they've no one to turn to. And it's become a euphemism these days to say, I will think about you. What is that? What good does that do? But to be able to pray for them, to be able to talk to them about Jesus. You know, so they saw with the eyes of Jesus. Jesus did this all the time. Zacchaeus up a tree, Jesus noticed him, realized him, looked into his heart, and realized he was wanting to be right with him, and so invited himself into Zacchaeus' life. He saw Nathanael under a tree seeking God, and so as he came, said, I've already seen you. I know you. I know your heart. He saw Levi, the tax collector, sitting at his tax desk. We'll look at that next week. And he saw him and had compassion on him. And as you meet your friends, let's pray that we have that heart of Christ. The Spirit can do this. He can give us the right words to say. So when you say to somebody,
how are you? And they go, okay. That's the English way, isn't it? That's the English answer. How are you today? Okay. But there are some times when you need to say, how are you really? And then God gives you opportunity to show love, to show compassion, to show friendship, and maybe even to share Jesus with them. So they had eyes that saw. And we can only do this if we're God, can't we? We can only see into people's eyes, into lives, if we're God. But he has put his spirit within us to enable us to see more than we can understand. So we need to be praying. And thirdly, they spoke, they proclaimed Jesus. In the name of Jesus, they said in verse 6, in the name of Jesus. And they were saying that they couldn't do it, but Jesus could do it. And we can't help people, but Jesus can. You know, so when you offer to pray for people, that's so important because you can't do much for them, but Jesus can. If you can do, we'll certainly help, but you can do far more by praying for them. So pray for them. And we can talk about lots of things, but actually only Jesus has the answers to the deepest problem. And the lovely thing is they didn't just pray for him, but verse 7, they took his hands. So they actually went and they did something for them. It's not just a hit and run. They stayed with him and helped the man to his feet. I remember a lady coming to the door of the church, the previous church, who said, I need to be baptized. And I looked at her and God just gave me this insight. And I can't explain it, but God did it, the eyes of God, that she was looking for something more. And I said to her, no, you don't need to be baptized. You need to come to know Jesus as Savior. And she said to me, how do I do that? And so I said, look, come on. We'll go on. So we found some space in the balcony as other people were going out. And I said, let's just talk about it. And we sat and we spent time talking about it, got to the end of the conversation. And I said, so what do you want to do? She said, I need to come to know Jesus now. So we prayed together and she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ then. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen when you see with the eyes of Jesus, when you're prepared to speak and to say that you need the Lord. So how does this apply? Well, it's a heart. It's living for him every single day. Lord, I want you to use me today. It's looking with the eyes of Jesus. When God gives us opportunities, God, reveal those opportunities to me, and it's speaking and being prepared to speak with my mouth. But there's more than that, isn't there? So we're going to go on, and we're going to have a look at Acts chapter 4 as well. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to 35. I'm going to get Pete to come up and read that to us as we come to the last little bit.
Thank you. We flick over one page, page 1096 now. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The believers share their possessions. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anybody or anyone as he had need.
Now we can go out with a heart for the Lord, with praying for eyes that we'll see, prepared to speak for him. But I wonder if that thought scares you. I wonder if everything we've talked about this morning just scares you. You're just frightened by it. You just think, how can I possibly do that? Will I lose my friends? What will my colleagues at work think? Will I become an outcast in my own organization? Will my neighbors ostracize me? What will be the result of all this? And here's one probably that most people have. What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Are you with me on that? Okay, can I tell you the answer for that? The universal answer is, I don't know, but I know someone who does. Okay, that puts the onus on me. So you don't need to worry about not having the answers, because God gives us the church, doesn't he? So it's not just myself, but it's others in the church who may well be able to have the answers. But So we don't need to let those scare you. But you see, the results of this, of what John and Peter did, it wasn't a surprise, really, but there was opposition. There was huge opposition. In fact, they were put in jail, and then they were threatened to say nothing more of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel that the threats are there, that you just feel that society is saying, don't speak about him. And so what did they do? Well, they got together, and they prayed about it. And the wonderful thing is as they prayed, and we didn't look at the prayer, but you can look at afterwards, as they prayed, they reminded themselves of who God is, that he is a sovereign God, that he takes circumstances and he uses those circumstances for his glory, that he turns everything over for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so he can do the same for them as well. And so we got to the end of that prayer, and as they were praying, they said at the end of this prayer, I've just missed my the passage here. I will get to it in just a moment. Yeah, at the end of that prayer, they said, so stretch out your hand and to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And after they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. God gave them boldness. I want you to see, we need to go on. Maybe you do feel like that's why that's what I wanted to do. Maybe you do feel a bit like that. Okay. I want you to see that they were transformed by God's Spirit. They were transformed by God's Spirit. I need to get there in a minute. I've gone on too far. Transformed by God's Spirit. They prayed. And what did God do? God gave them boldness. They were commanded not to speak, but no, they prayed. And they prayed that God would consider their threats. So maybe you are struggling with this. Maybe you're struggling with going to work tomorrow. And what if I do speak for the Lord? What if God does give me opportunity? What will happen then? We'll pray about it. Come and cover it in prayer. And ask God to give you boldness. Ask God to transform you. I was amazed in previous church. There was a guy there who had been doing door-to-door work for 20 years. If you ask me, what is the most difficult kind of evangelistic work you can do? It is knocking on people's doors who are busy doing other things and don't want to speak about anything and actually trying to speak to them about the gospel. I've done a lot of it. This guy was there, and so I decided to use him in the church, a guy called Chris, amazing guy. But the very first time I went out with him, I was amazed because he'd been doing this for 20 years, and as we got together, I could see his hands were shaking. I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "No, I'm just nervous because we're about to do this door." I said, "You've been doing it for 20 years. You're brilliant." You know, and he's an amazing guy. Conversations just flow. People open the door and they're really antagonistic and about to set the dogs on them, and he gets them kind of just speaking to them like they've known him for years. Like he's got such a gift, and yet he was nervous. And I want you just to know that actually, of course, we're nervous. But you see, we do the same thing as he did, because what he said is we need to pray. And we started with prayer. So maybe you are scared, but God transforms us by his Spirit. And not only that, but he also transforms them in their lives, which is what this overhead was about. There's a strange verses, verse 32 to verse 35. A lot of translators and commentators struggle with them. They're a bit of padding between two major stories. But what is going on here? What is going on here is that God was transforming their lives. They were living in a way which was dramatically different from the world around them. The videos which I were to show are from an organization which is just encouraging people to be disciples in the everyday of life. And they have what they call their 6 M's, which I think are really, really helpful. They say that what do we do when we go into the world? What we should be doing is just modeling godly character. So you know what it's like in your workplace, all the tittle-tattle and gossip about people behind their back. Don't be like that, because God has transformed you with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You live the reality of the fruit of Christ in you. You model that godly character with your neighbor. You know that lots of neighbors around you will probably be really protective of their favorite hedge or whatever. You know, they don't like it if a ball gets going thrown into their garden. Don't be like that. God's giving you that garden to be generous with, your garden to be generous with. So be different. Model a godly character to them. Well, there's an old man who walks down our street almost every day, 2 sticks, and everybody walks past and no one talks to him. So I make it my not duty, but my privilege to go and say, "Hi, hello, how are you? How are you doing today?" And just to be nice, because I love him in the Lord, because because that's godly character. Model godly character when you do it. Make good work. When you go into work, we work as unto the Lord, not for our own glory, but for the Lord's glory, to bring him honor and glory. So when you go into work, do your work as unto the Lord, not for what your boss wants, but for what Jesus wants you to do. So you just shine Jesus out in everything that he does. Minister grace and love those difficult times people are going to. Spend time talking to people. Say to them, do you want to go and have a cup of coffee? Just chat to me about it. Minister great love. Mold the culture. Your workplace might be a dog-eat-dog workplace. But Jesus doesn't call you to that. Jesus calls you to love and to humility, to be a servant, not to be a predator. And so model what it's like to be the Lord Jesus Christ in your workplace. Be a mouthpiece for truth and justice. If somebody has been treated harshly and they ought not to be, then stand up to them. If somebody is being ostracized by the rest of the workplace, then sit alongside them. All it's doing is just being what Jesus would be in your workplace. And above all, be a messenger of the gospel when God gives you that opportunity. You see, they were so transformed that what happened is that people noticed. People were afraid to join them, but they were so amazed about the life that they had in Jesus that they wanted to be with him. And many people came to know the Lord, and the Lord added to their number daily. How do we live for Jesus? We live for Jesus by being prepared to speak for him, by being in the place that he wants us to be and being real for him there on that front line, and by being transformed by his Spirit so that we are bold for him and so that we are living our lives for him. I'm going to just leave a moment of quiet, and I just want you to think about what is it that God has challenged you about for your situation in your life so that you can be effective for him. And maybe it is to be a very different place person in your workplace than you have been. Or maybe it is to be much more intentional about prayer as you go out into your day and into your life, and maybe even into the rest of the day. Or maybe it is just to equip yourself to be able to speak the gospel using the leaflets that were being given out. Whatever it is God's challenged you about, let's just bring it to the Lord now and spend a moment just to come to the Lord and say, Lord, use even me. Use even me.